My dearly beloved in Christ, our hearts rejoice to celebrate this feast in honor of our Blessed Mother, which is really the greatest of her feasts, the greatest privilege, that she was born and even conceived without the stain of original sin, that she was never tainted with the smallest stain of sin. There is a statement in the Old Testament, "Thou art all fair, and there is not a spot in thee," that Holy Mother Church takes and applies it to Our Lady. "Thou art all fair, O Mary, and there is no stain in thee." Now, we know that this dogma of the faith, the Immaculate Conception, was solemnly defined on December 8, 1854, a little more than 150 years ago, by the great Pope Pius IX. And he did so for several reasons. One, because of course it is the truth of faith revealed by God. Second, because there had been controversy. There were some theologians who thought, well, St. Paul says we have all sinned in Adam. So they thought, well, then there could be no exceptions, that everyone came into the world. And they thought perhaps Our Lady was conceived and had original sin just for a moment, and then it was purified. And there were others who were shocked at that and said, no, that's impossible. Did not the angel say, "Hail, full of grace"? And so there was this controversy that needed to be settled. And another reason for the definition in 1854 was that bishops and various heads of religious orders and various other persons had been petitioning the Pope to settle the matter and to make this definition. And it was interesting yesterday, as I was doing some reading on that, that Pope Pius IX, who defined the dogma in 1854, had previously sent an encyclical letter to all the bishops of the world in 1849, 5 years before, to ask their opinion and to ask their prayers for guidance on whether or not he should make this definition. So you see, the church proceeds very slowly and carefully and methodically. And here the Pope wanted to know the thinking, the opinion of the various bishops. And he asked them to pray, and he himself prayed for guidance. And then finally, again, made this definition. I would like to read to you from the official documents of the papacy of Pope Pius IX. On the 6th of the Ides of December, that is December the 8th, 1854, in the presence of an immense concourse of fathers, cardinals, and bishops of the Holy Roman Church, gathered together in the Vatican Basilica from the remotest parts of the earth, and with the applause of the whole world, he solemnly pronounced and defined that the doctrine which holds that the Blessed Virgin Mary was at the first instant of her conception by a singular privilege of God, preserved from all stain of original sin, has been revealed by God and is therefore to be believed by the faithful with firmness and constancy. And we can only imagine and try and visualize the great concourse of people who gathered in St. Peter's Basilica, in the Vatican Basilica, for this momentous occasion, and all of the luster of the, again, the bishops and the cardinals in their robes, and the faithful gathered together, and the singing and the rejoicing, as the Holy Father defined this dogma. Pope Pius IX, interestingly, had a unique devotion to our Blessed Mother. His baptismal name was John Mary, so he had the name of Mary as part of his name, and was especially, again, devoted to our Blessed Mother. So he proclaimed this dogma of faith in 1854, and it would seem that our Blessed Mother gave it the seal of her approval for a little more than 3 years later. On February 11th, 1858, she appeared to Bernadette in Lourdes in a grotto. And she appeared a number of times, and Bernadette desired greatly to know her name, this beautiful lady from heaven. And when Our Lady finally revealed her name, she said, I am the Immaculate Conception. So of all the names she could have chosen, she chose that one to show again her approval of this definition. It's also interesting that Our Lady appeared in 1830. So that's 24 years before the definition, the solemn definition. She appeared to another saint, Saint Catherine Labouré, and she gave her a medal to be the model for a medal to be made. And around the image of Our Lady on the front side of the medal are the words, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. A beautiful ejaculation that we should pray today and often. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. This medal was called the Immaculate Conception Medal. It received the approval of the church and it was spread far and wide. And there were so many graces and miracles resulting from the use of the medal and invoking Our Lady with that ejaculation that it became known as the Miraculous Medal. But originally it was called the Immaculate Conception Medal. So these would be indications of our Blessed Mother, indications from heaven of the approval of this definition by the Pope, who with the fullness of his authority as the Vicar of Christ solemnly defined the truth, the dogma, that Mary was conceived without stain of original sin, that she was always free from sin. And the collect for today's Mass, that would be the oration right before the epistle, which expresses the mind of the church, says that by the foresight of our Lord's death, in other words, the redemption, that Our Lady was given this privilege. So she was given this privilege in advance. Others have been redeemed. We have been redeemed by our Lord. But Our Lady was, so to speak, given this privilege in advance by the future, God's foreknowledge of the death of his divine Son on the cross, that she was given this privilege of being conceived without stain of original sin. Now, there are some women in the Old Testament who foreshadowed Our Lady. We use the term types. They were types of Our Lady in different ways. One of them was Eve. Eve came into this world without the stain of original sin. She was the first one to commit original sin, but she was created immaculate, pure. And Our Lady is called the New Eve. But another interesting type is a woman in the Old Testament named Esther. And Esther was an Israelite woman who had been chosen by the king during the time of captivity to be his queen. And he did not know that she was Jewish. And due to an enemy of the Jewish people, a law was passed that the Jewish people were to be condemned. And Mordecai, the father of Esther, said to her, you are the only one that can save us. You need to go to the king and have this law revoked. But the king was very austere. No one was allowed to come into his presence who had not been invited. And Esther trembled at the thought of going into the presence of the king unasked or without being invited. But she did. She prayed, she fasted, and asked that all the Jews do the same. And after 3 days, she went to the king and told him about this. And he had not known, as I said, that she was an Israelite. But his words to her were very interesting. He said, Esther, don't worry, that law was passed for everyone else, not for you. The law applies to all the other Jews. It doesn't apply to you. So you see, the original sin, the law of original sin, all human beings descended from Adam and Eve coming into this world with the stain of original sin on their soul, that applies to every other human being. Does not apply to Our Lady. Can you imagine? Just imagine if she had been conceived with the stain of original sin on her soul, even for a moment, then the devil could hold that up to our Lord. Your mother at one point, for one moment, was under my dominion. No, it is unthinkable that that could be the case, that God would allow that to be the case. No, his mother must always have been free from any stain of sin and have never been under the dominion of the devil. And she was endowed by Almighty God from the first moment of her existence with the fullness of grace, with more grace than all the angels and saints combined, because she was destined to be his mother. So we, as children of Mary, rejoice today in her privileges, especially this greatest privilege, her Immaculate Conception. We rejoice that our Lord has also shared his mother with us, that she is our mother. We rejoice with her privileges, her honor, and we seek to honor her and especially to imitate her. Let us invoke her today and every day, and especially with that beautiful ejaculation, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.